Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls, Season 1, Episode 17, Black Men Can Jump.
Racist.
Yeah, was it ever in question that black men can't jump?
Or was it just,
or was it just white men?
Because for my whole life, I've noticed that black men can jump.
Fairly high. Anyway, the point is this. It gets its title because of the investigation that LaSalle and Kelly are running because a young kid was shot basically to take his boombox.
Yes.
Some kids ran up on a guy with a boombox and he didn't give it up, so one dude shot him.
A young kid, right?
Yeah. What happens, and it's pretty good investigation where it's kind of by the numbers where somebody comes forward and says they heard a guy talking about it so she can get money for her, for her baby, and one of the guy that did the crime, or was a part of the crime, was a baby daddy. Unfortunately, Kyle hasn't seen any of the episodes we're recording today, because Amazon took NYPD Blue off of their...
I mean, I've seen the episode, I know what happens, like, I can tell you, like, certain points of things that I remember, I just didn't get a chance to rewatch it, because they took it down. But I know that fucking Donna's dad's in this episode.
What?
Donna from That 70s Show?
Donna's... I thought you were talking about Donna Amanando.
No.
And I was
Donna
like...
Donna from That 70s Show's dad's in this episode. He plays a private investigator.
His
two boys.
His name is Don Stark. He has a real name. His name's Don Stark.
Well, I don't know his name. Like, I don't give a fuck about that. That's not my problem. But I know he's in it. He plays a private investigator that's fucking with people. And then the two black teens. I remember there was a scene where the dad, like, pulls them in and shit.
Yeah, basically to run down, because Kyle hasn't watched the episode and we can't really go down beat by beat what happened.
No, we can.
While Kelly and LaSalle are doing that investigation, Sipowicz gets a call from... Well, no, he doesn't get a call. He gets a visit from a guy who has a missing daughter that he caught the
case. And that guy's name is... What's that guy's name?
That guy's name is Bucci. The Bucci case.
Yeah, the Bucci case. The world-famous Bucci case.
Where the girl has been missing for 2 years.
Two and a half years.
And this guy is still holding out hope that he can find her because... You find out at the end of the episode, he actually sent her on an errand, and then she was kidnapped. So
yeah.
He holds himself responsible. And Sipowicz was on the case, and Sipowicz, he's no slouch, it's just there's no leads.
Yeah, and it's something that he's been thinking about, but, you know, there's nothing he can really do about it.
And Don Stark plays a private investigator that makes a claim that he has some type of article of clothing that belongs to her, because
Are we really gonna call him Don Stark all day?
Fine, Donna's dad. Bob from That 70s
Show.
Okay,
so I think we've learned that we shouldn't do podcasts at noon my time because you've just woken up and you're a little cranky pants.
Oh, I'm not cranky pants. You're cranky pants. No, I've been up since 6 o'clock. Thanks to this one. Who decided he needed to pee at 6 a.m. on this lovely day.
The chick from Sister Act and David Caruso Whispertough are trying to solve a case.
They get some names and they bring them in and they pull the thing on each other where they get a little information out of one, they use that information to the other guy, and they all point to this third guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this third guy gets brought in
by the dad of the boy who was killed.
But no, that's at the end. This guy shows up once, and they interrogate him, and we get the title Black Men Can Jump because he punches LaSalle in the face.
Is it the face, or does he, like, push her? I thought he just, like, kind of pushed her down.
He either punched or kicked her directly in the face because she gets a shiner, and all the dudes are like, what the fuck, when they see her face. Because she got straight up hit in the face by this dude.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
I forgot about the black eye that she had, like the shiner she had.
And another testament to the craftsmanship of NYPD Blue, the episode kind of starts with There's a maintenance guy there taking record of the maintenance issues.
And, yeah, and all bitching about it.
And Sipowicz gives him like, okay, so when are we going to have some kind of idea when this is going to be fixed? And then the guy gives Sipowicz the third degree, and then Sipowicz basically makes fun of him in front of the entire squad. It's like, look at this pencil pusher. Yeah, real good worker, this guy. So glad we got him on the team. And basically shames him in front of all the dudes.
So that scene made me laugh because, as you know, I used to work maintenance.
I used to work maintenance as well in the same department you did.
And I feel like everyone, no matter what, thinks that maintenance guys are all like that. You know?
Yeah.
That they're just like, oh yeah, we'll get to it. And it just made me laugh, because there are some guys that are like that. I remember guys that I used to work with that were like that. Like, oh yeah, we'll just do it on Monday. And it's like, well, you can just do it right now and be over with it. It's like, yeah, but you know, we'll just save it for Monday.
Hey, yo, Kirk, we're not going to fix this tonight. Why? I don't want to. Okay, what are we going to do instead? We're going to go to dinner, and then we're going to watch the basketball game, because I got no more work. I'm not saying who that is.
Well, yeah, anyway, that's for a different day.
So, but basically, the kid escapes because the bars on the windows in this place, they're kind of like, they're on hinges. So it's like,
yeah,
it's like a chain link fence, but the hinge was broken, so the kid ripped it off the wall and jumped down the window.
That's right. That's right. And that's why black men can jump.
And the scene you're talking about that was really badass, which there's a couple famous faces. There's Don Stark. There's also his name's Felton Perry. He's actually the father. He was in RoboCop. He was in Dumb and Dumber. He was also in
What was he in Dumb and Dumber?
He was one of the detectives that was chasing down the guys. About halfway through the movie, there's like these two detectives that they think that they're criminal geniuses, taking them across the country, and he's one of the detectives.
Yeah. I did not know that. That's crazy. He was also in Magnum Force.
I watched that movie for the DLM challenge, and was he good in it? The movie kind of sucked.
How dare you say a Dirty Harry movie sucks? How dare you?
Pretty easily, because they're all pretty terrible.
Everyone loves Dirty Harry.
And it's pretty clear that, like, I mean, to give an idea of what kind of time we're recording this in, it's pretty clear that it's definitely for the gun lovers of America. Because he has a goddamn Magnum that could shoot through an elephant, and he's on the street shooting at, like, guys robbing a liquor store who don't have guns yet. Like, like... That, yeah, the scene with Felton Perry, yes. He actually brings him into the place, and he's really angry because this guy shot his son, his wife is dead. You get this kind of backstory that he has no other family.
Does he have a gun to his head? I don't remember.
No. He never has a weapon, and he never shows, like, any real sign that he's gonna do anything, but when the kid escapes in the episode... He basically says, okay, then I'm going to go find him on the street, because I know how to. And Fancy says, no, he has no resources. We have cops at every way out of the city. Like, there's no way he's not going to get caught. And he's like, yeah, you keep telling yourself that. I'm just going to go find him and get justice. So they think he's going to kill him once he finds him.
And then he finds him.
He finds him, and he brings him in and puts him in a trash can.
That's right.
And the lighting is really bad in the scene, but I think it's implied that he kind of beat the shit out of him under the bridge.
Yeah, I don't think he beat the shit out of him. I think he beat him up to, like, I think there was a struggle to, like, because, I mean, the guy's just not going to come in willingly after he shot a boy, especially if the father's after him. So I think there was a fight, but I don't think he beat the shit out of him. I think he just beat him up enough to be able to take him in and stuff him in a trash can.
But yeah, that was a sweet scene, because it's one of those NYPD Blue scenes. Because in all reality, NYPD Blue, I mean, it is a drama TV show, so it's got to make those switches so people stay interested. And that one where he just brings in the kid and sets him in the trash can and then says, my son would have rather this way than me taking care of it. And then Fancy's like, you would have made your son proud. and then walked him out. it's such a like Hallmark moment on NYPD Blues. But
so yeah. I'm gonna try to say something without sounding racist.
Impossible.
Do you think Fancy had to tell him that because they're both black?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was gonna say, like, why couldn't Caruso go up to him and be like, "You made your son proud"?
There's a movie, and this is gonna seem way off topic, but I swear it'll make sense. I watched a movie called Circle.
Circle.
And in it, it's on Netflix, and it's really short for movies.
Kirk, it's called The Lion King: Circle of Life.
So in Circle, all these people are kidnapped by aliens, and they're in a room, and there's 50 of them, and they've figured out that they vote who dies every 2 minutes. So every two minutes, someone has to die, and they vote. And the votes are anonymous, but like they start like talking about it and talking it out. There's one point where a black guy in the group just goes, "Okay, black people in the room, who wants to get together so we don't end up being the first ones to go?" And
Fair enough. And
a white guy goes, "How can you play that card?" He's like, "What are you talking about? We're dying. Like I'm just saying it before it happens to all of us."
Fair enough. I got no problem with that.
And in that moment, they have an argument back and forth because I never thought about it. And it doesn't. I don't want to sound racist, but I'm white and I'm talking about black people, so it's impossible. It's impossible for us to understand what it's like to be black.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's impossible. So when Fancy is talking to another black man about his son who was shot, it can't be Sipowicz or Kelly because they don't know what it's like to live in New York City as a black man with a son. They just don't.
Yeah.
Like Andy, like in the episode prior to this one, I think, or it's coming up. I think it's coming up actually.
Which one?
The one where Andy. Yeah, it has to be coming up. Andy's son gets arrested. Anyway, it's either before this or after this. I think it's after this. Andy's son gets arrested with a drug charge.
Yeah.
And Andy is trying to solve what happened before he gets a number. Because even if the case gets thrown out, if he gets a processing number, he has to say that he was arrested.
Yeah.
And I started to think about that, and I was like, imagine if you were a black kid who's like 18.
I already am.
You were born a poor black child, like the jerk.
Born a poor black child.
And you have to, like, you're out with friends, and then it gets like our party, and it gets raided by the cops, and you get a drug charge somehow. Like your friend put something like on you or in your bag, and you get a drug charge, and they're not copping up to it.
Uh huh.
Like we're starting to see with like these weird court cases. Like sometimes it goes your way if you're white. If you're like middle to upper class and white, and you go into a courtroom and you say, "Look, I was at a party, I was not aware," or this and that, the judge will be like, "Well, we don't want to destroy your life. You made a mistake."
Yeah, Kurt. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it has to be James McDaniel Fancy. It has to be him, and it has to be Felton, because you can't have Sipowicz make those connections because he doesn't have them, and you can't have Kelly make those connections because he doesn't have them.
So that's true.
It's sad because we try to think like in this post Netflix PC culture world, like, oh, race doesn't matter. It totally doesn't matter anymore, but it does still. It's going to matter until the world explodes. NYPD Blue. It's genius. But the other thing that's happening in this episode, Black Man Can't Jump, Sipowicz is on the trail of this PI for two reasons. Because we're learning that Sipowicz is just a superhero when it comes to being a detective.
I don't know if he's a superhero.
I think we'll get there.
He's just really good at his job.
We'll get there, but the last episode of this season, season one, there's a moment where I think, oh, they're just basically saying he is the superhero of the show. He has been reborn as a superhero. He still has his dark side, but he's in the right direction. We just needed that darkness to get there. But in this episode, he goes to the PI basically to go, okay, what do you have? Like, I'm not here to dick with you. I want to know what you have.
Yeah, because when the guy tells him, like, oh, I hired a PI, blah, 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 he says that there's a lot of, there's promising things. Sipowicz gets weary of him. He doesn't believe him. So he automatically, like, well, that's the one thing I don't understand. Like, so when we started this season, Sipowicz was a drunk, getting in trouble all the time. Fancy didn't trust him. And I would say we're like, what, 3 months removed from that, if that?
Yeah.
Right? And all of a sudden he can just say like, hey, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to go take care of this personal thing.
Well, I don't think he said that to Fancy. I think he said that to Kelly.
And I know, but what I'm saying is like Fancy, like does Fancy not know what's going on in his department?
No, I don't think so.
That I have a hard time believing.
Well, here's the thing, and that brings up another logical question. This has been 2.5 years, this Bucci case. Sipowicz was, in theory, a drunk during those years.
Yeah.
But did he shape up because it was a kid? Is that the thing? Like, was he still a drunk, but he would keep it together so he could look for this kid? Because you think about the Bucci case, it's right in the middle of, like, probably some of his darkest, like, drunkenness.
Here's the thing, I still think he was a good detective, even though he wasn't drunk. You know, I still think he was good at his job. But, like, we'll see later, when it comes to kid cases, he takes it differently than other cases, so I think even if he was drunk, he would take it differently, and probably it'd be more serious. I just think when he's drunk, his racist and sexist side comes out more.
But like his kid protection, and
stays the same, and is something. And especially if he's drunk, I think his kid protection would be amplified even more. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
And his anger would be even more. But I just found it funny that like he can just take off. Like, I'm gonna take care of this.
Well, yeah, that's like the framing device of this show, so that characters can go do their personal business in the middle of work days, when there's daylight, is they have partners, and they work really, really well, so that when Sipowicz goes up to Kelly and says, like, that episode is Serge the Concierge.
Yeah.
Sergey the Concierge. When he goes to look to help out his son. I guess it is also weird that he did it twice in like a 3-episode span. He basically went up to Kelly, and in that episode, he went up to Kelly, what's his name, the guy you hate, Medavoy and Martinez, and he said, "Hey, I can't go dumpster diving. My kid just got arrested. I'm gonna see what's going on." And they're nice guys to go like, "Okay, don't worry about it." But when you think about it, it's fucked up to be like, okay, we gotta go look for a body in a dumpster. I'm the one that caught the case, me and Kelly. But my kid just got arrested, so you guys have fun looking for a body. I'm gonna go help out my kid. Especially when it's like 3 episodes from, hey, this PI is like juking my old case. I'm gonna go see if he has anything, and if not, I'm gonna fuck him over.
Yeah, it's just weird to me. Because, and they do it so flippantly, too. All they do is just say, like, oh, lost time, and then they walk out.
Yeah, lost time.
They're just like, lost time, bye. Hey, boss, I'm going to take lost time. And it's like, well, wait, like, what for? Like, why? Like, he doesn't ask any questions. It's just like, hey, lost time, later. It's like, okay.
Well, you would agree that he has a pretty decent squad. Like, you got, even Medavoy, even though, like, he's kind of a bumbling bitch occasionally and in the comic relief of the show, he still can do his job.
He's the comic relief?
Yeah.
You think he's the comic relief?
He's the comic heart. Sipowicz is the comic, like, soul, and everybody throws jokes, but Medavoy is the one that you laugh at because of his, like, whatever. You don't like him. That's your problem. He's not for you. He's for the families that are watching.
He's a bitch. Anyways, moving on.
Sipowicz goes on the hunt for this guy. And he says, what do you have? And the guy's giving him, like, the rub. He's basically, like, trying to make it seem like they're on equal level.
And Sipowicz is definitely playing him.
and basically says, just give me what you have, and we'll deal with the other shit later. And he looks at the file, and he basically, he interrogates him, even though the guy's like, oh, we're having a discussion between peers. And Sipowicz is like, no, I'm here to figure out what you know, if it's anything.
Yeah.
And he looks over the file and realizes this guy's full of shit, but he says that he's confirmed with a psychic that this piece of clothing belonged to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Sipowicz, who doesn't cotton to that magic shit, basically tells him, well, if that's the case, then you're lying and I'm just going to tell him to stop seeing you.
Well, no, doesn't he trick him by, like, trying to get cut in on it?
That's at the end.
He tried to get cut in on the deal.
Yeah, basically he's like, okay, so then this is bullshit. And he's like, look, she's very convincing and she's worked with police departments. Here's her card. And Sipowicz goes to see her and he basically sees through the ruse. Because she's like a hippy-dippy piece of shit. And he's like, okay. And then he goes back to him and says, okay, so she's full of shit, you're full of shit. How much are you charging him to do this?
Yeah.
And the guy said, he's like, my prices are confidential. And he's like, okay, then I want in. Because you're obviously lying.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's and then the guy kind of plays dumb. And then Sipowicz throws out a number that he thinks will be, like, what the guy makes.
Fair, yeah.
And he basically does that as a tactic to get him on recording, admitting to the fact that he's fucking with this guy and that he's plans on getting more money out of him. And then he takes that tape to Mr. Bucci and plays it for him.
Yeah, and then Mr. Bucci's sad because he's still no closer to his child than he was before.
And there's a moment of catharsis with him and Andy, because Andy basically is like, hey, here's the deal. You went through a very traumatic experience. You blame yourself, and anybody would. But you got to realize, you have to exist in a world where you don't know where your daughter is. Like, you have to deal with it somehow. And if she comes back, great. And if she doesn't, then that's just the world you have to live in.
That's crazy to be able to tell someone that.
But it's one of those things where if you... Because we're seeing this at the end of, like, 2.5 years... And the guy was just told, like, you were attempted to be duped for, like, thousands upon thousands of dollars.
After you had been told, oh, we have a break in the case.
Yeah, like, someone gave you hope, but that was a lie to get more money out of you.
Yeah.
And probably the best part is he actually brings that PI in and arrests him.
Yeah.
And then the PI, like, and this is one of those things that I like about NYPD Blue, where the guy who... is being charged and arrested. He says, well, this will never stick, and you know it. I'm going to call for entrapment, and I'm going to do this, and then I'll post bail, and I'll get out of here. And he goes, that's perfectly fine, but that's a whole couple weeks that you're not on the street fucking with other people, so I don't care.
Yeah.
And I love when that happens on NYPD Blue, when they say, I don't care that the system won't work for me. I just want you to not mess with people for a little while.
It was a good episode.
It was a good episode. And it had, LaSalle actually did some pretty good NYPD Blueing when she had the interrogation where the guy jumped out of the window.
Uh-huh.
Because she basically talks to the kid and then... Or maybe it's not the kid that jumped out the window. Maybe it's a different kid. But the kid basically said, can I look up your skirt? Because he thinks he's fucking clever. And then she's like, apparently you're not so smart because... I was about to tell you something before you pissed me off. He's like, what were you going to tell me? He's like, you're 17 now. I'm sending you to Rikers. And how do you think that's going to be when a 17-year-old looking like yourself walks in? Basically saying, I'm going to send you to the shit unless you start talking to me. And then his tone completely changes.
That's weird because from what I've learned, you can't go to Rikers unless you're over 18. Unless you're 18. So like if you're 17 and 364 days old, you still go to juvie, but if you're 18, then you go to Rikers. But it also depends on the crime too.
And
I think there's like a what's the word I'm trying to say?
Condition? Stipulation?
Yeah, there's like stipulations. If the prosecutor thinks the crime is harsh enough and you're close enough to 18, you can be charged as an adult. I think, I don't remember. I learned it this semester, but I fucking forgot. But
that's great. Good thing.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Good thing you're going to that school.
I'm not going to be a lawyer, dickbag.
I learned it this year, but I forgot. So.
Yeah, because I'm not going to be a lawyer, dildo. If I was going to be a lawyer, then it would be really important for me to know that. But it's not. Because I don't need to know it.
So upset.
Do you remember all the bullshit religion stuff you learned? No, you don't.
I remember a good deal of it.
A good deal? Not all of it, though.
Yeah, a good news deal. Get it? Jesus! Good news? Gospel?
Jesus. Oh, I didn't know. I forgot that that's what dumbass people call the gospel.
Wow.
The good news is here! No, the good news is not here. This really sweet fictional book's here.
Oh, Kyle. That's a debate for another time. Is there anything that happens in this episode that needs to be touched upon?
No, I feel like these episodes, as I'm looking through the names of them and like reading their synopsis, from here on, I feel like they get this is when they hit their stride.
This is it?
Yeah. Because I feel like they start hitting their stride with how they're gonna start the writing, how the stories play out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How there's like cases and like you see them solving the cases and. It's getting away from their personal lives as much. And it's sticking with like the cases but also having the personal lives intertwine with the cases, but I feel like yeah.
Another thing happens in this episode that almost got completely left. LaSalle is going to transfer.
Oh yeah, because fuck. Why did you bring her in? Like you could have just had anyone in that department like taking her spot. I don't know. That was stupid.
Where she's transferring to is like the, I forgot what they called it, but it's like the sexual racial harassment center.
It's the SVU. It's basically SVU. It's Special Victims.
No, because she came from Special Victims, and she's going to head to this more pencil pushing section.
Oh, I took it as it was like the head of SVU.
No, because the reason it isn't is because Lakowski randomly in the middle of this episode, just so that she makes it in another episode, because she's not useful in this episode, period.
Yeah, there's no need for her to be there. I don't get it.
She shows up to LaSalle and she says, "Hey, I applied over at SVU. I know you used to work there. Would it be rude or, like, would it be uncool if you could tap over there and see what the deal is, like if I did a good job or like if there's tips or whatever?" And in just two scenes they speak, and then the next scene when she talks to him, she says, "Yeah, they just felt you didn't have the demeanor of somebody that would work well with rape victims."
Which I mean, that bitch comes off kind of like in your face.
Well, it doesn't help the audience because, like, we know her as, like, the weird, insane chick that killed some folks, gets away with it, sleeps off and on with John Kelly.
But she's never really had a, like, soft demeanor, though, through the whole show. So, I don't know.
Well, like, I can't imagine you can have a soft demeanor if you're a street cop, you know what I mean? You can't really... Like, well, I mean, everybody has to start out, I guess.
Disagree.
Disagree?
Okay. Disagree.
Fine. But the reason I brought all that up is because there's a scene where Kelly and LaSalle are in the car, and she tells Kelly, "Hey, so I got an offer to go over to that office job and the sexual..." I forgot. I wish I knew the name. I should have wrote that down. But the quote that Kelly says back is, "That racial sexual harassment stuff is important." Like, which is basically the writer going, like, let's just write, like, the dumbest sentence about how important it is to be mindful of sexual and racial harassment. Hey, that racial sexual harassment stuff is important. I don't know, it just felt dumb. It just felt like the laziest thing.
Well, they have, so throughout the whole show, they have little, like, comments like that. Where they just throw, like, "Oh, yeah, this pussy liberal stuff, we need it in the world, but it doesn't need to be the main thing." Like, in a later episode, one of my favorite lines Sipowicz ever does is he's talking to a parole officer, And he's talking to him about somebody, and he's like, where is he? Like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, that guy, like, changed his life. That guy's, like, a good dude. Like, he would never do this. He's trying to be a better person. And Sipowicz is like, yeah, whatever. And then the guy's like, man, you need to relax. And Sipowicz is like, oh, yeah, we got a psychologist or a sociologist. Look, these sociologists over here. And he goes walking out, and it just made me laugh, like, the writers of this show think, like, sociology is, like, a pussy liberal degree. It made me laugh. Like, oh, these sociologists care about how people feel and think, and it's like, yeah, that's how everyone should.
All right, is there anything, I don't know if you remember anything from this episode. Was there anything you'd like to say before we are done?
No, I remember most of this episode. One of my favorite lines is from Sipowicz, where he says, so let's not snag our pants on your sharp ethics here, all right?
Oh, it's so good.
Also talking to the guy, the personal private investigator, and the private investigator says, I'm having it analyzed in a laboratory. Once I've ascertained its legitimacy, I will involve the proper authorities. And then Sipowicz is like, yeah, well, while you're ascertaining on that, why don't you tell me where I can find this psycho woman so I can ascertain on her?
It's a good show. It's a good episode.
It's a good episode. I feel like they hit their stride and the shows start to be more, like, there's no lulls anymore, I feel like, for a while. Like, I feel like for 3 or 4 seasons after this, things just keep flowing well, mm-hmm. You know? I don't know.
It gets a good pace and a good, good structure going. The first season has so many times where everything just stops so we can watch Kelly have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
And, like, it doesn't make sense and it doesn't seem, like, connected to anything. And then the second season, it seems like even the weird sex stuff is connected to something. Like, something we should be paying attention to. So, maybe. I don't remember. Gotta rewatch it. Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com, so go there. Don't get Amazon Prime, because they took off NYPD Blue, which begs the question, why would you have Amazon Prime then?
I know, it's so funny, I was looking at Amazon Prime, and they keep advertising, like, oh, we got all these HBO movies, and it's like, or HBO shows, it's like, yeah, I already have HBO Go, like, I don't need Amazon for that shit.
And then they're like, yeah, but we got Mr. Robot, and I was like, I don't want to watch Mr. Robot, you know, I don't know what I want to watch, 12 seasons of NYPD Blue, which is now gone.
I mean, I do want to watch Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I hear it's good.
But it's not enough, that's one season, like, who gives a fuck, you know, like...
Let's hope NYPD Blue gets picked up somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where. Like, I don't know where, and I don't know by who. It's kind of sad.
Well, later, everybody.